Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we are in the book of Acts, looking at lessons from the early church. The first Christians were revolutionaries. The group they formed was in many ways very different from what we know as the church today. According to the book of Acts, they met in their homes and devoted themselves to God's Word. As a result, these early Christians brought about the most amazing and powerful transformation the world has ever known. And they did it without a single megachurch, television program, or website. They simply opened their homes, spoke the truth fearlessly, and trusted God for the results. Long before Christianity found a comfortable home in church buildings, it was an active body of passionate believers. Now, with today's message, here's Nathan Bivens.
What we're going to be discussing today in the message is brokenness made whole. And when I began preparing for this message this morning, what God did in his life, taking his brokenness and making it whole once again and changing him. Join me in prayer, please, as we open. Dear Lord, Father, thank you for this time to come here this morning to hear your word. Lord, I ask that you would help us as we continue our study in Acts to look at how you can take life that is broken, Lord, and you can take that and remake it whole. Lord, I ask that your spirit be here with us and be upon this congregation. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So this morning we are looking at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there. And this is following now where Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit has come upon the church, in the early church. And Acts chapter 2, verse 43, we read, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." I just wanted to point that out because in chapter 3, we have one of those wonders, one of those signs, and it makes you wonder, we have recorded here this one instance of healing where the lame man is healed, but let's not forget, this is not the only sign that is occurring, but many things are happening throughout the early church and through the apostles. But this morning, we're going to look at chapter 3, verse 1, and let's read. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried when they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms." So let's pause here for a moment as the story here is being set up. And we're taking a look now here at Peter and John, who are going to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. So this is about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And I think it interesting to note that in the early church, we see the Christians still going to the temple. This would have been something that Jesus did daily, where he would go to the temple with his disciples and he would teach and be there and pray with them. And the early church is still continuing this tradition. We don't know when that stopped, but at some point, going to the temple is no longer necessary because, as 1 Corinthians explains to us, that we are the temple for the Holy Spirit. And so we can worship the Lord wherever we are, and wherever two or three are gathered, we are there worshiping him. But then in verse 2, we get introduced to a man who is lame from birth, who's being carried to the gate and being set outside the gate so that he can then ask for alms or support from or money from those who are coming in and out of the temple. One thing I want to note here, and I find interesting, is that the man was brought to the temple daily. So this is the routine that this man now has established in his life. And then everyone who's entering in and out of this gate can see him there every day. He's become a fixture. People pass him by and they see him, but eventually at some point do they stop seeing this man at the gate? And it also, I find it interesting to think about, Jesus probably passed this man at the gate himself at some point, because we know that Jesus was at the temple. He was there teaching, coming and going. And I don't know if it's just me, but I wonder, you know, why didn't Jesus decide to heal this man earlier? Just a thought. And I think we have to answer that question with, you know, it's all in God's timing. We don't know. God had an appointed time to meet this man, and that was today. But the early Christians were still meeting, and they were coming in. And as Peter and John were about to go into the temple through the gate, they notice him. And let's pick up at verse 4. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles bones received strength. The lame man was living his life daily at the gate. I just want to emphasize that. He had somebody who was willing to carry him to the gate every day. And there he sat. And I often wonder, as I was preparing this message this week, was what sort of hopelessness did he experience as he sat there at the gate, as people came and went, and maybe not even noticing him? He was probably resigned to his situation of having to sit at that gate and beg for money. And he probably only saw that material need in his life. At that point, that was his focus. But then we have Peter and John who come. And Peter stops and says to him, "Look at us." And I think that's important, because this is really, I think, also this story is a symbol of Christ's ministry being passed off to apostles. I think this is one reason why Luke records this in Acts in the early church. Because what we have here is an example of really what Christ was doing when he was among them healing others. And so we have now the apostles, John and Peter, coming up to the man, and he says, "Look at us." So you see, when Jesus was healing, he often did the same thing. Jesus never walked up to someone and just merely healed him without first directing their attention to him. And this is very similar to John chapter 5. I'm just going to turn there for a moment, and I want to read just a little portion. When Jesus saw him, now let me just set this up. This is another man who is near the well in Bethesda. And as the story goes, when the water stirs, when the angel stirs the water, the first person who could get to that water could receive healing. And so Jesus is there, and he encounters a certain man. And then when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Jesus is grabbing his attention. Now think of what you might think if you were the man sitting there and Jesus came up to you and said, "Do you want to be made well?" Well, you might take a step back in your mind and say, "What is he talking about? I've been this way for how long? And he's going to offer me something that can make me well?" Now, this is a great story, and we can preach on this, but I don't want to get off track. I just want to point out to you that this is what's going on here in Acts chapter 3. Peter says, "Look at us." It creates a sense of expectation and focus. He now has this man's attention. And then there's an anticipation in the air. And God wants our attention as well. Are we ready to receive what he has to offer us? Do you come here on a Sunday morning? Did you come here this morning expecting something to happen to you personally when you encounter God here in worship? Or are you living this day the same as any other day? You see, I'm afraid we begin our time on Sunday morning never expecting to meet God here and receive anything. I think we come here sometimes, and as the message begins, as we're finishing worship with our song, and scripture's being discussed, sometimes our minds just begin to wander. And we begin playing our mental games. We begin thinking about, oh, lunch is coming up. What am I gonna, where am I gonna go for lunch? Or what am I gonna have for lunch? Or we start thinking about our week. What do I need to accomplish this week? And the life-changing truth that goes out from Scripture misses us. God wants our attention. Because unfortunately, if we're not careful, we can come here on a Sunday morning, we can sit here for years and not give God our attention, and we are going to miss out on what he has to give us. Now, with the man at the gate, what did he think his need was? He was looking for money. Because he has physical needs. He needs something so that he can sustain himself, so he can feed himself. This is the only way that he's able to do it. But what does Peter say? Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. Peter's telling the man, and he's admitting that he has nothing of this world that he can offer, this lame man. But he has something much more powerful. Because what Peter can offer is something that the man didn't even know maybe that he really needed. He had a brokenness that needed healing. And God can heal the broken. And that is exactly what the church is called to do. What every Christian is called to do, really, is to declare our bankruptcy in the realm of the material. The church is not primarily called to meet the material needs of the world. Now, do not get me wrong, because I will be the first to encourage you and challenge you to find a need in this world and help meet it. Our church gives to missions. Our church supports ministries that help others. And that is something we're supposed to do. But that is not our primary mission here now for the kingdom. We're here to bring the broken to Christ. We're here to give a means for a personal relationship to be established with those who need to be healed in their brokenness, for brokenness to be made whole. And then in verse 8, so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate at the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. It's a miracle. Here's this man who has been sitting at the gates for as long as anyone can remember. And now he's jumping, he's leaping, and he's going into the temple, praising God for what has just happened. This miracle. The healing story that we see here in chapter 3 follows the typical form of healing stories in the gospel. The ill person and the healer meet. You get a description of the person's illness, something that really cannot ever seem to be healed. And you have this healing action, words are narrated, and you have the actual healing occur. And a proof of that healing is described, and then just amazement at the healing in a thanking God for that healing, and just that magnification really revealing more of who God is. Outside of that healing, I think there's more here to this story that we really need to take a look at. There's another component here that I think speaks to God's working in our lives, in our brokenness. Because what we are talking about here, when the man was brought to the gate, he was always set outside the gate. Did you catch that? At no point did anybody ever come to him and say, come with me, come into the temple. No, he was always left at the gate, begging. And God's healing changes his relationship, doesn't it? It changes his location. What happens after that healing? He's no longer on the outside of the gate, marginalized, but now he's up and with the apostles going in to the temple to worship. God heals the broken. And I think it's, you know, something we need to think about in terms of our own story, of how we came to be healed by God in our own lives. I'm afraid sometimes we take the idea that, you know, this consumerism mentality of we chose Open Door. We just came here and we thought, oh, this is a wonderful church. I'm getting fed here. I'm just going to stay. But truthfully, we need to view it from the terms of God healed us, did he not? In some way. We were broken as well. We had a spiritual need. And at some point in our lives, God got our attention. He said, look at me. I've got something to offer. And he brought us in to the temple. He brought us into the church. And that's why I really love showing the video this morning of Louis Zamperini. Because here is a man who survived all that he did, but he was still broken. His life was falling apart. He had a need other than material. And only Christ, Jesus Christ, could fill that need and heal. So one of the questions I want to ask this morning is, are we seeing those who are broken at the gate? Open Door Church, are we offering healing to the broken through a relationship with Jesus that will bring them into fellowship with the church body? I think these passages remind us and call us as a church and as individuals to meet those in need at the gate. And who are those individuals? It's those that feel unworthy, but are of value to Christ. Those that are poor, but are rich in Christ. Those that have broken relationships, but can experience restoration in Christ. And those that are marginalized in our society, but can experience unconditional love in Christ. Do we walk by the gate and not see the person there waiting to have that encounter with God? Shame on us if we don't take the time to reach out and bring that person to God and let God heal the brokenness in them. A brokenness that can be made whole. That's what we're called to do. And are we certain that God is able to work in the lives of the broken? Because I think sometimes we may have doubts. And maybe that's why we are not really looking for the person at the gate. Maybe we need to be convicted that God, the same as his work in us in healing our brokenness, can do the same for others. We cannot come to church on Sunday morning only to mark our time and not expect God to use us to reach those in need. Amen. We need to see the person at the gate. We must look for opportunities to meet the brokenness, to meet the broken, and share Christ with them. But let me also ask you this morning, did you come to church today needing to encounter God? Maybe there's a brokenness in your life this morning that you're struggling with. And maybe God is saying, look at me. I want your attention. Let me help you. And if you're maybe in that position this morning, reach out to him. I would encourage you, reach out to what God is speaking to you right now so that he can work a miracle in your life and make your brokenness whole as well. Also this morning, there may be somebody here this morning who does not have that personal relationship with Christ. And God may be speaking to you this morning about the brokenness in your life that you may need healing. And you can only do that through a personal relationship with God. So I'd like to present this morning how that can happen. And for each of us, we all, this represents us, humankind, have sin. This is sin that we cannot get rid of. There's nothing we can do to make this sin go away. And in this hand represents Christ. I mean that reverently, Christ. And he is without sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans 6, 23 tells us the wages of sin is death. A sin sacrifice is required to get rid of this sin. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that he, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us. And that sin now that used to separate us from God is taken by Christ and is buried. And 3 days later, to show that Christ was that righteous sacrifice, rose again and ascended to heaven. And that sin no longer keeps us from God, keeps us from that relationship. But there is one thing that we need to do, and that is, we need to accept the gift that God has given us. We need to place our trust in Christ. And if you this morning are feeling that you are at that point where you want that relationship with Christ, you feel God calling you, all you need to do this morning is pray, Lord Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know Christ died on the cross for me. And he's taking that sin, and it no longer separates me, and I want to place my trust in Christ, that it's the work that he did on the cross in redeeming me, that now I have the ability to have eternity with you in heaven. And if you've prayed that prayer this morning, amen. I want to rejoice with you. And after this service, if you want to talk to me or Charles or one of the deacons and let us know, that's fantastic. Let us rejoice with you. And as we leave here this week, I just want to remind you all again, we need to be looking for the broken at the gate. As you leave here this week and you go out throughout your day, look for those who have the need in Christ so that you can make a difference in this individual's life and so that we can do the work that God has called our church to do in this community. If you'll pray with me. Lord, Father, thank you for your word this morning. I just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here today. Lord, reminding us of there are so many out there in our society who are marginalized, Lord, who need you in their life. Let us be your instrument so that we can help those who are broken be made whole through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your power. Lord, I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.